Welcome back, interweb friends. Stop the movie. I want to get out. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm here with most of our Stop the Movie crew. Jack Esterbrook.
I am definitely an unhappy camper right now.
Cody.
Wait, what movie are we doing right now?
That one right there.
Because I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. And Andy Wolf.
Where were you going to go?
I was going to do the other one.
Yeah.
You'll see in the next one.
Okay. You'll see in an upcoming episode. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. The movie we're making fun of this week is Sleepaway Camp 2. I had to think of the second part of the title. Sleepaway Camp 2, Unhappy Campers, from 1988.
I think, right?
Okay. Starring Angela Springsteen in the very limited. If you're saying like we're supposed to know, like, oh, Angela Springsteen starred in things. Yeah, she starred in these before becoming a still photographer. And let's get right into this movie. This is a 80s horror slasher film all the way.
Like, and it's got mullets and boobs.
Oh my God, does that
Yeah,
awesome.
In fact, it starts right off with, I would have titled this movie Mullet Campfire Tales.
Mullet Boob Campfire
Well,
Tales.
That yeah. And like all the kids, and it was like only two kids under the age of 27.
Oh my God.
I thought they were all counselors.
I saw a lie at first.
I have so many notes in the movie. I don't know if these are campers or counselors.
Right.
Because the campers seem to be older than Angela, who's the counselor.
Right, or the same age as the counselors. And there's like two kids at 12 years
old. Two little boys who kind of creep on the girls. They're the only ones in the entire movie who look like they could be the campers.
Yeah.
And like, this is a problem in a lot of 80s movies where people playing teenagers. If you've ever seen an episode of 90210, you're like, oh boy, you're really pushing it with the teen look there. But like, this is pretty bad. And
this
you're
is
going,
really bad.
And you're also thinking, like, why, even in the scope of this movie, these kids are supposed to be like 16, 17 years old. But what 16, 17-year-old is going to summer camp
right.
with little kids?
Right.
Because like, there are other like 10, 12-year-old kids like doing arts and crafts at this camp. I don't know. That's one of many
problems. Well, the thing is like I was discussing earlier, it's hard to make fun of this movie because it's low budget.
It is.
And it's made to be campy. To be stupid.
I disagree.
I disagree.
It's made to be dumb because the lines and the...
Yeah, I think it's made
it's
to
definitely
be a parody
camp.
Of 80s slasher movies.
I don't know. I think this fit in the 80s slasher movie genre perfectly.
I think they were...
She literally kills people as Jason, as Freddy, and as Leatherface. I'm pretty sure it's a parody.
I think they wanted to have a little of that, but I think when the reception to this was so bad, they kind of spun it as like, ha-ha.
I don't know. I didn't like it.
Like, they were like trying to do the Scream thing. But there's a lot of this where I'm like, no, this movie wants to be taken seriously.
I don't know, man.
Maybe not seriously.
I would say
that certainly they're certainly having fun with the movie. I'll say that. But I wouldn't go so far as to say I don't think anyway. My opinion. I'm not so sure I would consider it parody. But they certainly were
parody.
Having fun with it. They weren't taking it seriously.
Yeah, I would say parody. Yeah. But when there's a couple parts where, during the couple of the killings where you just laughed.
I agree.
Because she did something, you're like, oh my God, that's funny.
The kills are probably the best scenes in the movie.
I think they're trying to have fun with it, but it's also... So they're also trying to be scary at times, which is so badly done.
All right,
I think they are. I definitely...
Because they didn't build any tension at all.
It's definitely supposed to be a horror movie, but...
Yeah.
It's a horror movie making fun of other slasher movies.
Yeah. Well, let's start right off. Okay, so it starts off with a bunch of, I guess, camp counselors and campers, although the distinction is very vague, even now, sitting around a campfire, a great mullet.
Telling some great stories.
Telling a campfire story, and they start telling the story from the first sleepaway camp, which is a really involved story about like a hermaphrodite who is revealed as a hermaphrodite and was killing everyone at this camp. And the way that the story is told by one of the campers is, like, hilarious. Like, this counselor, Angela, is trying to get this girl to go back to her cabin. So then this girl's, like, decides she has to tell the story really quickly. So she's like, they found him holding the head of another camper. About 30 people were killed, and the camp had to be closed down. The end. And that's it. That's your summary.
That's all you need.
That's how you tell
the
story.
That's all your summary. And the best part, though, is when another camper then comes in and goes... Yeah, but I heard after that, the doctors gave him a sex change, and our parents' taxes paid for it.
I forgot about that line,
Wow. Like, weird reverence. Like, you know, I know it's the 80s, but we're kids are really like, oh, no, not our
tax. It's where my tax dollars went to sex change.
My tax dollars are being so misused.
Yeah.
And so then, okay.
What's great though is here is like so that the one chick leaves with Angela.
Yeah.
And the one little kid like 12 says something, and like I don't know if you caught it, but they're like, the one little kid says something. They're like, everybody else is like, okay, that's it. And they get up and turn him around, like grab his pants to do something to him.
They're kind of like, I'm like,
holy shit, what did they just do to him?
Yeah, yeah. That is a little disturbing. I'm hoping it was just a wedgie.
Right.
But that they cut out of it so fast did disturb me.
That means that every counselor in the camp just descended on their one counselor.
Yeah.
I mean, their one right, camper.
Their one camper.
Their camper, yeah.
So Angela, who's like the senior girls counselor, is then walking this girl back to their cabin, and I don't know.
Because she's naughty. She's naughty for going out and sneaking out being the boys.
Yeah, she's naughty. Yeah. Although the other counselor seems to have no problem with this. Like the boy counselor seems
TC,
to have no
issue.
TC,
the mullet guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Best character in the movie.
What a mullet.
So then Angela, they get into an argument, and Angela clocks this girl in the head with a big piece of wood. The girl then grabs the other side of her head, which was really mystifying to me.
Yep.
She took a couple seconds to fall, didn't she?
And she did.
From what I remember,
she
kind of like,
she gets like whacked on like the left side of her head. She puts her hand on her right side of her head, and she just sort of like, I don't even know if I would say she falls.
She just kind of lays down.
Her body sort of folds. Like she sort of like gradually like descends to the ground. And dies?
I guess, and they cut to the shot of her on the, and you
getting
see
her tongue cut out.
And you can see like the fake tongue hanging out a little bit. It's a weird shot.
Yeah.
And then she grabs the tongue, and that's what I'm saying. I think there's just a stupid,
silly
thing, because she's like, you know how she says, I can't remember what she says, but she's cutting her tongue out for.
I feel like they were sort
telling
of wanted
stories,
to go.
Yeah,
for telling stories.
Like they almost kind of wanted to go in the road that the Nightmare on Elm Street movies went in the, like, once you get to like Nightmare on Elm Street like 4 or 5, where like it's a horror and catchphrases, like a little bit of horror and
but
comedy.
I see it different. Right. I don't think they're catchphrases. I think it was, again, making fun of slasher movies, because later on she kills someone after they do drugs and she says, don't do drugs or something.
Yeah, right.
And it's an old thing, like if you do drugs and have sex in horror movies, you die.
I guess
so. I think that's what it was. To me,
it just
didn't
seem parody to me. I don't know.
It didn't. I did see some of that, but I think there were so many times that this movie actually wanted to be a little scary and was just dumb, like so stupid.
Yeah.
Well, it's so weird. Like there are things that are happening in this movie, even if it is trying to be a parody.
I don't think it's parody. I think it's like Scream. Scream is a horror movie, but it's making
fun. But the thing is like,
yeah,
you know, they had no obviously. Like, you know, 4 minutes in, you know she's the one killing people.
Right.
So you have no tension building. There's no, like, who's doing it.
Right.
It's kind of like, so where are we going to go from here? Because we know who's doing it.
Right.
So what's the story going to be?
Where do we go from there?
Nowhere. That's what I'm saying.
Nowhere.
There's no really story or anything to hold you there.
I do like that the killer from the original movie, who was a girl who was actually a boy, is now a girl. And there's like so...
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that is the spoiler twist. This is the killer from the first movie.
Yeah,
it's not really a spoiler because it's right here. You find out.
Yeah, and they tell the story, then she kills it. Yeah. It's like there's no, you know what's happening.
You do well, and then we kind
later
of
later on. There's some POV shots too, like you would do in a movie if you didn't know who the killer was.
But then it's not the killer. That's the kids just going.
So it's the false scare. So it's kind of like, well, what's the point of doing that if we already know who the killer is?
Yeah. Well, and then we kind of then go into like this standard kind of summer camp stuff of like kids eating in a dining hall. So confusing.
Well, before that,
girl wakes up in the morning completely naked and
before
stands
that,
there for
a girl
20 minutes letting
walking
her boobs
around
walk
naked.
Around.
We're going to throw the TNA. There's going to be plenty of TNA in here.
And this was mystifying to me in the sense of I'm like, so you're telling me that this girl who's got to be like, who looks like she's about 21 has to be even like 17, 18 in the world of this movie because she's like not even a teenager anymore, but she's a camper. Am I wrong in saying that they don't make it clear on who is campers and who are counselors?
I mean, they kind of try to do, because Angela's like, okay, campers, but...
Well, Angela's a counselor.
Angela's
TC's a counselor.
Right. TC's a counselor.
That's about it.
Well, there's two other counselors
boss,
who we...
Uncle John.
And there's that other woman who's a counselor who we kind of only meet at the end when she's
Diana.
Killed.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I was confused the whole way through. I don't know.
Well, they were wearing the exact same outfits. Like, they didn't even have, like,
again,
a different colored shirt.
They were all just as old as Angela was.
Yeah. I did laugh a little at how they set up that one girl, Molly, who's kind of, like, the typical, like, good girl, like, hero girl of, like, a horror movie. And there's, like, that funny scene in the dining hall early on where, like, they have this conversation and, I don't know, they're talking about something else and someone's like, so, Molly, do you get stoned? Whole table pauses.
Yeah.
Everyone leans in. She's like,
no.
No. It's the most fascinating thing in the world. Everyone's like everyone's taking notes. Like, oh, there might be a quiz later. I got to find out if Molly gets stoned or not. You know, and then it's like, okay, then the movie just goes on. You know, like we need to establish that, you know,
she's
Molly's
the good girl.
Molly's good.
She's a stereotypical good girl.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about that whole, I don't know if these were sets or if this is on location, but something about the, I couldn't tell. I mean, I assumed it's sets because they looked so overlit and kind of. They look just fakey overlit to me. Like
I thought the lighting was terrible, but I actually was. I thought it was on location.
I think it's location.
They probably found a real camp.
And, okay.
I thought so. Something
looked
so wrong, weird with it.
We're gonna get really film geeky here. I thought they were pushing the film too hard. Like I thought they were shooting on location, didn't have adequate lighting, and were having to push up the grain because like the picture I was looking at was crazy grainy every time we were indoors. Which just made me think, like, they actually were shooting this at a camp but couldn't get proper lighting in. Mm-hmm. So we're pushing the film like crazy but making it look like it was from...
Could be. There's something looked weird with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and weird isn't even the word for this. So then
Angela's the camp counselor of the week with a big ribbon on. And they
sing
a song about happy campers.
But
and
there seem to only be three, maybe four counselors. Right. So is that a ward really?
And there were probably about 12 campers in there?
Well, they say at one point there's 40 campers.
Right.
Okay.
At one point they say that. And TC is the head counselor. So there's really only, at most, three regular counselors. That award seems pretty suspicious, you know?
It does.
And they sing the song, which, of course, the last line of the song is, we'll camp until we die.
Die, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't know why. I guess Angela, I mean, her motivation is she likes good girls and good kids, and if you're bad, you're going to get punished.
Right.
Weed out
why
the bad kids.
Why is she like camping so much?
I don't know.
Because she went to camp in the first one and was ridiculed and
it's a bullied. Traumatizing experience.
Yeah, and then ended up killing everybody, but now she loves camping.
And here's the thing, and this is the thing that frustrated me, because like there is some parody elements. They seem to be trying to delve into Angela's psyche a little bit, or like what's driving her. I still don't understand.
I don't.
They're like hinting at a lot of different things and the trauma she's experienced, but never giving you anything to hold on to.
No.
At the end of the movie, she says that she's cured. She's normal again, so she likes camping now.
I guess. I don't know. There's a great scene, too, and I never like to dictate what picture we have to have as the Facebook picture from a movie, but if our picture this week is not a shot of TC, the mulleted counselor, smelling his own armpit, I'm going to be really upset, because you guys know the scene I'm talking about, right?
I don't remember.
He is a
talking. I do.
He comes up to Andrew, he's like, hey, you know, if you want to, like, you know, I'm sure you've got a lot of questions about the camp, and you know, maybe we could answer them, and she's like, oh, okay, I'll call you. And then TC's like, where are you going to call me? I don't have a phone. We're in a summer camp. And he like smells his own armpit to see if he's offending her.
I remember because I may or may not have taken a screen cap of that already.
Okay. It was amazing. That was one of the best moments.
Right. Was he hitting on her?
I think he was. And then when she walked away, he was it was kind of like, do I smell bad? I think
it was
what
like
I
he was hitting on her, like, oh, we should get together. And then, you know.
Maybe, yeah.
Then that went nowhere.
That went nowhere. Yeah, because he's also then like the one character in the movie who's kind of onto that there's something wrong with her. Though he does virtually nothing about
until the end of the film.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, now I'm looking at my notes right now. I have a sheet of notes of like that are all just like, are the girls in this cabin counselors or staff? I don't understand what's going on. This camp is full of 20-year-olds. But some of them seem to be in danger of being sent home. I don't know if they're being fired or sent home to their parents. Very frustrating. And then, can we jump forward to the crazy panty raid scene? I would love people's thoughts.
There wasn't a kill before that, was there?
I think there was.
Is there?
It jumps around. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. The
when she kills her sisters.
Those crazy two sisters. The Choate sisters.
Yep.
Their hair. One of them has a hairdo that looks like a baking soda and vinegar volcano you would make for like science class. That was crazy.
And they're drinking like 5 bottles of vodka. Like they're still awake. I don't get
they're
it.
They're drinking vodka, smoking pot, and having sex all at the same time.
And well, there's no-nos. Something weird here too. Doesn't she comes across him at one point?
Yeah.
In the woods, and then it cuts to her
back at camp.
Back at the camp, asking TC if he's seen the Schott sisters.
Yes.
I thought she had killed them.
That's right.
Yeah.
But then it goes back to her. She goes back into the woods and finds them again.
Yeah, it was like she had to wait for them to sober up or something. She's like, all right, I'm gonna put them on a fire and burn them alive.
Yeah.
But they got to be sober when I do it. They have to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Or so, she was thinking, like,
I'm going to get more wasted.
The alcohol will make the fire too unpredictable. I've got to.
So, yeah, she comes back to the woods and finds them again. One of them's having sex with some guy. The other one's passed out. So Angela scares the guy away.
Get out of here. Yeah. He does. He's like, whoa.
And then it like cuts away or something, and it cuts to the other sister, the one who was passed out, waking up, and she's like on a grill, and she sees her sister's already been burned to just charred, just her charred skeleton on the grill.
Yep.
Which, by the way, implies that the one sister slept through her other sister being burned alive.
Right.
That didn't wake her up.
And right. That's when, yeah, Angela covers her with gasoline or whatever and says, say no to drugs or whatever, and then burns her alive too.
Yeah.
See, there's good messages in this movie. That's the thing. This movie's not just a horror film. It's a good message film.
It
about
is.
About drugs, alcohol, sex, showing your boobs.
And mullets.
And mullets.
And mullets. Lots of work.
TC because gets it because of his mullet.
That's the only thing. It's the only reason I can think of. Well, then at the end of the movie.
Because he fired her.
That's right.
He did fire. Well, at the end, in the beginning of the movie, it's like she's killing people because they're doing things morally wrong. And then towards the end, there's a character who's like, what did I do? And she's like, you were on to me.
Yeah, right. Like, you're going to tell.
You're going to tell.
We've gone past that now. We're now just who's going to rat me out.
That's right.
I loved the scene where, like, the boy campers are like, I don't know, somehow they're like, they like bust into the girl's cabin and a kid actually like throws his hands in the air and goes, it's a panty raid.
Yes.
What in the world? Was that written? I wanted to ask if that was like a scripted line.
I know.
Like some kid got that on a piece of paper and they're like, here's your dialogue for the day. Make sure you're ready to go with this.
And then it was followed by jackstrap raid, which is just gross.
The most, I know, I was like, really, someone needs to help these girls with revenge plans raid. Because a jockstrap, like, really, the girls are double losers if they're grabbing jockstraps.
The three girls are holding the one guy down. You see that guy in the floor?
Yeah, they're like,
yes. As he's struggling.
Yes.
They're not even holding him. He's like, oh.
So, one of the other problems I had with this movie was there's a lot of filler in it. There are scenes that not only are not related to the plot, but are just not related to anything. Like, somewhere in here, there's a scene of just three kids sitting around, and one kid is just telling bad jokes to a girl.
He told her bad jokes about your navel. Yeah,
and then that's it. That's all the scene. There's no content to it. It's not advancing like anything. Like, and you're just, it just kind of kills 2 minutes, and then the movie, because the movie's pretty short. It's only about 80 minutes, and I feel like,
it's an hour 19, something, yeah.
I almost feel like they were shooting material just to be like, okay, we've got to get this to an hour 20 so that a cable network will run it. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely, yes. There's a lot of that stuff.
If you went to a HBO...
Even the stuff where they're running around showing their tits all the
like
time
the scene
is
with
like
the girl
filler,
for no,
really.
The scene where the girl, for no reasons, like, takes off her... puts on a t-shirt, takes off her top and her bikini top and says, don't push me in the pool. Just so she can impress the other guy across the pool by look at my boobs through my shirt, but he's into the other girl.
Because the guy is not impressed. But in that whole sequence, it takes a lot of time and is pointless.
And nothing to do anything.
I just envision someone being like, HBO will not buy this if we are at an hour 10. We've got to make it to an hour 20. Yeah. Come on. We can find something.
Yeah, didn't,
you know?
No suspense or anything like that. Didn't add anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even, there was no plot, so... it didn't advance the plot or anything.
Well, there is that sort of love triangle plot,
well, they're
but
trying
that never
to, but
goes
doesn't,
anywhere.
It doesn't really affect
the
movie at all.
Like the nice girl and the slutty girl are sort of in competition for a maybe counselor, maybe camper, who is sort of this nice guy. He's a bit of a tool, but he's nicer than the other kids in the camp, and he actually genuinely likes this girl.
The nerdy girl.
But
it didn't.
Slutty girl really wants him, but because she can't be with him, she starts sleeping with every other boy to try to like satisfy this need to be with this other kid. And
but
I don't know.
The triangle never came down to like, I got to save one or the other or some type of a thing in the end. Like, oh, right. Well, who's going to shoot? I'm something.
In fact, when the kind of slutty girl is killed, no one even knows about it.
So yeah. It just didn't serve any purpose.
Yeah. Also, again, should mention, there are also like 11-year-old kids at this camp. So you have this like one girl who's sleeping with all these campers, and then there's also 11-year-olds like running around.
Did you catch the names, too, of the 11-year-old, the two kids?
No.
What was their name?
Charlie and Emilio.
Oh, yeah.
Because the girl who plays Holly is their sister, Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez.
Well, did you notice that most of the names are Brad Peck? There's a Demi.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a Sean for Sean Penn. There was...
TC is Tom Cruise.
Holy hell. Yeah, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, there was...
Ellie Sheedy.
A little Brad Peck?
Oh, that's right. There was a girl. Yeah, the girl's name is Allie, yeah. So everyone's names are...
I never caught that. There's a little Brad Peck reference in there.
Just because there's a send-up of...
They were connected. Yeah. They were, loosely connected to the Brad Peck people, and yeah.
But yeah, so we've got a third member of the Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez family now in the podcast, because that girl is their sister.
Renee, the girl who plays Molly. Renee Molly, Estevez. The good girl, Renee Estevez.
Oh, I didn't know it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Who's still working, actually. Still a working actress, doing some stuff.
So it's here, it's after the panty raid.
After the jockstrap raid. Angela catches the girl's...
Mary.
Showing her boobs. No, it's Mare. Mare. She doesn't like Mary. It's Mare.
She likes to be called...
She showed her boobs. Yeah.
I just realized she's Mare. Her name is Mare because Mare Winningham, who was like a fringe member of the... Oh, my God. This is so dumb. Molly, I didn't catch this.
Wow. I will give the film credit. That was clever.
I'm like horrified that I'm connecting these dots right now. That's terrible. This is so dumb.
But this is one of the funniest freaking... I love this. This made me laugh.
The kill?
Yeah, it's because it just...
This was so my favorite
catches,
kill of the
She
film.
Catches the jockstrap raid, and Mary's like showing her. She takes her top off or whatever, and I guess she's so embarrassed by this that she decides to go home. And Angela's trying to convince her, no, don't go home. I'll get, you know.
Man, she's so upset.
Just
she's
apologize. You can have a second chance, or whatever. And of course, Mary says, they're in Angela's car. I'd rather die than apologize. And
but this was so, funny, because she's looking for something.
Angela's in the back looking.
What are you looking for? A gun? She's like, nope, a drill. I just started drilling her.
That was really, yeah.
I will say I did enjoy that scene.
That was the one scene where I'm like, because that scene did show this sort of like lighthearted, like sort of spirit of the movie. And I don't want to say it worked, but I was like, at least tonally, that scene had a consistent tone to it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I see what they were going for.
Yeah, that's just fine. I laughed. Yeah. That one
I also laughed in the next scene when they're doing the thing with, they're putting the kids' hands in whatever, in the bowls or whatever. And they're like, oh, these are like monkey guts. And this is, and then Angela's putting their hands in the bowl and going, dead teenagers' brains.
And somebody says, what's in there? He's like, dead teenager brains.
Yeah. That actually was funny. I will get, there were two moments.
But
that
then they
work.
Follow that up with, and they keep going, they dolly down, and then the 27-year-olds are doing crafts also.
Yeah, like coloring.
The black guy's like all excited. He's like, this is going to scare the dookie out of Angela.
That's a real line.
You say dookie? You're like 27. You said dookie.
He says, Angela will dookie in her pants. What are you talking about?
What the hell is this?
Yeah.
And then at that point, you notice every time they do this handshake, you notice they do the handshake, the fist bump, they always miss.
Yeah.
It's like they're not used to doing it. They just do a quick little thing, and they always miss when they do their secret handshake.
They did like 50 takes, and they finally just like, screw up, let's just use one.
Because these two kids are making what looks like a Freddy Krueger glove and a Jason Voorhees mask.
Yeah, the Freddy Krueger glove is like a real
glove.
Like,
that's it, that's it. Like, later on in the movie, it's like, wait a minute, those blades were real?
Yeah, it's actually too good to be made in an arts and crafts class. And is that where... Okay, so we'll go right into that. Okay, so they're going to scare Angela with that.
She
and
finds out from TC somebody.
TC warns. I think some of the kids are going to scare you. And
yeah. And also TC is like, you really got to stop, quote unquote, sending people home. You know, it's like we only have 40 campers.
Because the campers are starting to thin out. People are starting to notice, oh no, every time somebody dies, oh no,
and
someone
she says,
sent,
I sent them home.
Mare home. Where's Mare?
Yeah. And then they go to scare Angela. And
really love this scene where they're listening to this generic rock music on the radio. And the one girl is like, wow, you may be a white girl, but you've got good taste in music. Yeah. Crank that up. Yeah. So
she's listening to white girl music. I don't know.
She says, okay. And then she changes the station to like smooth jazz and starts laughing hysterically like it was the funniest thing ever.
I didn't know what happened there. Because I was like, what just happened? Because I saw her do something. And I'm like,
I don't know.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, no.
This movie
was needs, that a joke? Did I missed it?
Yeah, it needs a lot of help with comedy.
Yeah, like, yeah.
They might have done better had they just made it as a horror movie because the comedy is rough.
Well, even her one-liners aren't that great.
No,
you know,
no,
they're yeah. they're not like a you know Freddy Krueger type one-liners. They're like kind of like generic and you yeah. know don't do drugs and
yeah
nighty night campers.
Right, but I think they're purposely supposed to be like that again.
That lame.
Yeah,
not lame, but they're just. If you do drugs in a horror movie, you're gonna get killed. Yeah. She says, "Don't do drugs."
Actually, that delivery you just did would have been funnier. Yeah. Than the delivery she does, like, it's not a good mix of comedy and performer.
But yeah, so the kids go out there to scare her.
Yeah.
And the one kid walks away because he's got to take a leak or something.
Yeah.
But he lost his glove. This kid walks out into the woods. He must have dropped the glove somewhere on the.
Oh, that's
on the
right.
Path.
Yeah, he's looking for his glove. Yeah.
He's looking for the Freddy Krueger glove. That's right. And then the Jason Voorhees kid says, "I'm gonna go take a piss. If you haven't found that glove by the time I get back, I'm just going to go without you." Oh, okay. So then all of a sudden a hand pops up wearing the glove from behind a log and he goes, "Oh, you found my glove." And then it slices his throat.
Yeah.
Which is where we find out, wait a minute, you made a fake Freddy Krueger glove with real razor sharp blades on it?
Yeah, I guess it was deadly.
One little flick and his throat's wide open.
And then so the other kid comes back and he's dressed like Jason. And this was the I hate to give this film credit for anything. This idea was mildly funny. He's dressed like Jason, and then all of a sudden Angela shows up, except she's dressed like Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, on paper, that's sort of funny. Like, I don't know if it's really working in this movie, but it's funny. And then he's like, hey, you know, I don't know, the kid's like, oh, great costume, bro. And then she chainsaws him up.
Right. Just.
And then she runs back to the camp where all the girls are having their campfire or whatever, and they think it's one of the boys who's gonna come to scare her, and they realize it's Angela. And they're like, "Oh, she's all right after all," or something goofy like that. And she's like, "Hey, where's I can't remember who it was. Was it Allie or Molly or not?"
Oh, yeah, it's a slutty girl.
Yeah,
she's got cramps, so she's
Allie. Allie in the bathroom. Cramps. So then she's in the bathroom getting it on.
Like I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're getting it on or what. But
yeah, he's like, this is doing
this
something
is
to
gross.
Her.
This is a really is gross.
To me, it looks like every time
they
this
got
girl
candles
has...
lit, music playing in the bathroom,
I
the
mean,
latrine
in a gross summer camp like lavatory, like not...
rolling on the floor naked. And...
yeah, I don't even. The
less what's going on there? What's going on there?
This just looked like a hepatitis C, like public service announcement.
It looked painful. Going down on her belly button.
Yeah, and yeah. I was going to say, it was on her navel. He didn't get any further than that. She keeps pushing him down, moving around, everything, squirming around. Like he's trying to get up, she's pushing him down. And
well, all of the sex scenes with her are like creepily intense. Like,
well, and they seem like painful.
Like agitated.
Like, yeah, like she's in pain the whole time. Like, jeez. Yeah.
She's projecting what the audience is feeling when they're watching
that
scene.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So then, of course, Angela shows up to the bathroom, is knocking on the door, calling for
she
her.
Can't get in, and she because the door is locked. I thought this was a little cute too. She like tugs on the door a little bit. She can't get through, so she kind of shrugs and starts pulling the rip, you know, on the
funny.
Chainsaw.
She's gonna actually like open it with the chainsaw.
But then the chainsaw doesn't work, so she's kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
That was
answer the door, open the door. Funny. I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was kind of funny. She's trying to pull the.
So to skip chainsaw. Around a little bit, we get a little bit more of this like love triangle that no one cares about
out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, she shows up and confronts the other girl. I know you don't like me. I don't like you. And
here's what's funny. Even two of the other people in the love triangle don't care about this love triangle. Right. The other girl's like, I really don't care.
Right, yeah.
I don't, you know, I don't have a problem with you.
Right.
Like, you know.
And the guy doesn't want this other one at all.
Yeah, the guy has no interest in her. So then she goes out into the woods to have sex with this other kid.
Now, is this the same person from the latrine, or is this a different camper that she's
having sex with?
I couldn't tell. I think it is, but it's so hard to tell.
Too many mullets. I couldn't tell.
And this is the best dialogue in the movie.
This is the best line in the whole movie.
And this is where I say, like, this movie shouldn't have had as much talking. Like, it has dialogue problems. Like, so they're having sex, and then it wraps up. And I'm going to read it. Like, this is how the scene plays out in the movie. The girl talks to him, right? You know, she's getting dressed afterwards. Listen, you don't have AIDS or anything, do you? No?
He's like, no!
Great. See ya.
Yeah.
What?
That's how the 80s were, man. That's how it was. I'm telling you, I lived it.
There is.
He got done asking if they had AIDS. Okay, see you later.
When she's like, great. Okay. You know. And then we get Brian talking about her death scene where.
This is a great.
This is, I guess the more I look back on this, this is a face palm. This is
great, though.
This is funny. Come on.
I didn't think it was funny because I didn't. I think.
Oh, my God. Come on.
I think they wanted it to be funny, but I don't think they knew how to be funny or how to play it as funny.
I laughed.
Well, I think it's funny because it's bad. Like, well, they're trying to be funny, intentionally funny, but it comes off as funny just because it's so poorly done.
But they also play this up like this is the kill of the movie, really, because this is Angela's nemesis.
Right. The
like, this is the one camper who is the baddest of the bad eggs. She's irresponsible. She stays out. She's slutty. She's defiant. She's a bad camper. So this is, like, the one they're building up to.
So Angela pushes her into an outhouse full of leeches.
After, well, first she stabs her in the back, like, twice. Yeah.
But, like, in a way where it didn't even seem like it, like, the girl, like, the girl was just more like, ow.
I know. What'd you do?
Stop it.
She stabs her in the back, locks her in.
Well, I didn't like the whole thing there where she's like, what's down there?
Yeah.
That whole speech there.
Yeah, it was great. Come
well,
on.
What's down there then? She's shit. Like, what's down there? Well, and
you
the
shit your life away.
The girl's like, what's down there? And she's like, oh, it's full of poo. What else is down there? She's like, urine? You know. What else is down there?
You pissed away your talent. That's what here, this and that. And here, what, else is, looks to...
what else is in there? And I'm thinking, what else could possibly
I know,
be in there?
I see
she says, things. Leeches.
Well, I thought she was going to be like, what else is in there? And I wanted the girl to be like, I think some tampons? Toilet paper.
Didn't she say, I don't know?
At one point, she's like, I don't know.
She's like,
I'm
going to find out, and pushes her in the hole.
Leeches. And her head pops up, and she's covered in leeches.
So
she
weird.
She push her down with a stick?
Yeah, she's pushing her down into the outhouse with a stick. So
sound
weird.
Sound effects are funny. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah,
so weird.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Meanwhile, there's a line of guys outside that have to use the latrine. Oh, no, God. I'm kidding. That wasn't in the movie.
And then, so kind of moving forward, she just...
I don't know how that chick even died, to tell you the truth.
I don't know. Nothing really happened to her that should have killed her.
She was drowned in the...
That's not that much.
She got a really bad infection. She had that cut on her back and immediately went right into the toilet. She got a really nasty infection.
You could hear her drowning, though.
Oh, she drowned?
You could hear her do that. You could hear the gurgles and all that, but that thing's not filled up to the top. I mean...
But she had to push her all the way down.
It's probably about ankle deep. I don't know.
That was great.
That was weird. So then Angela kind of goes in a killing rampage. She's killing everybody.
Well, because she...
Now, because people are...
Well, at this point, yeah, she goes... By the time she kills this girl, there's only like two more campers left in her... or three campers left,
right.
Counting Holly in her cabin.
And what was
so
it?
She goes back to her cabin and...
The one chick comes in and says, I called Mary.
Oh, yeah.
And their parents have seen her. Yeah. It's another
kind
great,
of funny because she's
another
like,
funny thing. She's playing guitar. She's like, "Oh, you called." And she got up and kind of put the guitar down.
She's like testing out different.
She's testing out like
as the girl is in the bathroom, telling you, "Okay." And then this happened, and then this happened. Angela's walking around the cabin, like practicing killing her with different things. Like, no, this won't work.
I thought
and
that was great.
That was
string
cute.
Off the guitar, and
I'll give you that.
And killed
her with it. And then somebody walks in.
And that person even
says, pushing the girl out the
window.
What
do I do? Yeah.
She goes, what did I do? I didn't do anything.
Yeah, so she's pushing the girl out the window. And she's like halfway out the window when this other girl comes in. And so Angela hides in the shower. And the girl sees the body halfway out the window. And that's when Angela attacks her. And yeah, she says, what did I do?
I didn't do anything.
It's like, you were going to tell.
You're going to tell. So just stabs her.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so funny. And that's the thing. I think with Angela, the I can't remember her name, the one who played Angela.
Angela.
I think she's perfect. I think she plays it great. She's got the great look, and she's got that kind of like the way she plays it is fantastic.
She had fun with it.
Maybe. Yeah. I think she's having fun with it. Maybe if it was better written and it had better comedic timing around her, maybe it would have worked. This was such a failure of comedic timing for me.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, definitely.
I mean,
the stubborn stuff she did, like, I found very funny. I thought her comedic timing was actually the best because, like I said, with the chainsaw outside the door.
That's true, yeah.
So, you know, and walking around the cabin trying to find something, the way she played it, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't feel like the scriptwriter or screenwriter and the director were all on the same page.
Yeah, right.
I think everybody was on a different
view.
I think the director was viewing this as a horror movie. I think the screenwriter was viewing this as something of a parody. And I think Angela was kind of on line with it as a parody, but also wanted it to be a little bit of a horror movie, too.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's a mess. I mean, at one point, well, we should talk about too, we get a flashback scene, and this is a rarity in our movies. So she's having a flashback to previous events, and we see it in slow-mo. We also get the audio in slow-mo. Yeah, singing the
song.
Yeah, she's singing the song in slow motion. We're actually getting the song in slow motion. It's like, what a weird choice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time my memories came to me with the audio and video in slow motion. And she gets fired. The camp director, like, brings her in.
Well, because Angela's, or Holly's the only... Camper or Molly, left. Rather, is the only camper left in her cabin. So no. her boss is like, you sent all your campers home. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
And he goes, you're fired. I want you out of here before lunch.
Yeah, you got to get out before lunch.
Yeah, lunch is the cutoff.
We're not going to feed you.
That's where I draw the line.
So Angela goes back and tells Molly, I've been fired. I got to go be by myself. So she, like, wanders off to her abandoned little cabin thing in the woods where she killed the other girl.
Yeah,
she got this.
In some reason, Molly has a connection with her, like, feels bad for
her. She feels bad for her, yeah.
She's a nice girl, I guess.
Yeah.
So she takes her boyfriend.
She tells her boyfriend, yeah, that we got to make her feel better or whatever. So they go follow her up to the cabin in the woods. And
the boyfriend was...
She's trying to comfort Angela, and the boyfriend's like, hey, look, this cabin's open, and walks in the cabin where, of course, Angela has all the bodies, and...
It's, yeah... There's dead bodies everywhere.
Propped up including every 80s movie.
Including the two burned up sisters, the twin sisters, with a Flotsam and Jetsam album propped up in between them.
Yes.
So this like 98-pound girl somehow overpowers this.
And then the guy's all buffed.
This 25-year-old jockey guy. Son. Yeah.
And knocks him out and ties Molly up.
Yeah.
And then...
Then TC, TC the mullet.
Oh, he's running in slow motion with his mullet blowing in the breeze.
Yeah, he's coming to the rescue. He just kind of like busts in, doesn't do anything. And for fans, he
immediately
gets
acid thrown.
Yeah, for fans of the Batman comics, he gets two-faced, where like you know suddenly you're just standing there doing nothing, and she throws acid.
And that's it. Like he doesn't die or.
Well, I love too the line because earlier in the movie he says something about his car battery was stolen.
Right, yeah, the whole list of weird things that have been stolen.
She throws this acid in his face and goes, "I knew your car battery would come in handy."
Now that's a payoff.
Yeah.
What a great callback.
Gotta love it.
So the hero girl, Molly, is able to escape. She runs out and...
Oh, yeah, but you're skipping the...
Oh, I do like
the heads, the head cutoff scene.
Oh, my God. She basically reveals who she really is. And the guy is like, my dad's the cop who arrested you. I know the whole story. And she cuts his head off.
Wait. I really wanted that kid to have a callback to the beginning and be like... And I'm really ticked off that taxpayer dollars paid for
your
that.
Vagina.
Yeah.
You had a sex change, and my taxpayer dollars paid
Never for mind that 30 people have been killed. I want to know where my tax dollars go.
She did mention, too, that her name now is Angela Johnson, and I was wondering if that's because she had a Johnson when she was...
Oh, not bad. I mean, that could reference be. To her Johnson formerly.
That could be.
Formerly Johnson.
So she
I do like to... I want to mention, before TC comes to the cabin, when for some reason he decides he has to go find Angela... He goes, I'm gonna kick her ass. And he like starts I want to see that scene. Like he didn't know she was a killer or anything at that point. He was just like,
there's sort of a funny look on the camper's face when he tells it to like this kid's like, I don't know how to react to that.
It's extreme.
Yeah, I'm really uncomfortable.
Maybe you should be fired before lunch.
You just told me you'd be violent towards a woman.
It's funny. Watch him run away too, because he's got those little brown tight shorts on and the mullet
blowing in the breeze,
bouncing around. Yeah, it's so like, 80s. Oh my God. It looks so stupid.
This is very, it's very like, you can even almost place it by year.
He's got the tight rolls on his t-shirt.
You can tell they shot this in 1987.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I hate that guy. I don't know him. TC? I think he's in Smarter Things. I hate that guy.
Oh, really?
I hate him. The way he looked, everything. I don't know, something about it. I was like, I hate this guy.
I thought he was like a poor man's like Dave Coulier, like from Full House. Didn't you think that? Yeah, he looked a lot like Dave Coulier, and I was it's interesting.
she starts talking about how they let her out. So I am better. They let me out. You know, even though she's killing people, she still believes she's better. And then cuts the guy's head off. And then TC comes running up, right?
Yeah, she could.
That's when TC came running up and got the acid in the face.
Yeah, and then Angela gets free. And
they had no. The funny thing was they had no way to transition her. She cuts his head off, and they had no way to really transition. So they kind of dipped black, and it came up. And they're still in the cabin, just going showing the dead bodies again.
Yeah.
And then she's kind of like, you got to eat, honey. You got to be hungry. It's like, and they're in editing, they're kind of like, oh, crap. How are we going to get from point A to point B.
And a couple hours later or something.
Right, yeah.
This movie would have benefited from a basic sequencing class. Yeah, like sequencing, yeah. Like sequencing 101, intro to sequencing right. would have helped.
Some yeah. way to pass the time other than that.
Yeah.
So yeah, Angela, or I keep forgetting the names. Molly gets free.
She clocks, goes running. Well, she first.
Oh yeah, she hits her.
Clocks Angela pretty good.
Because she's bringing some random person in. She's got some random person that I guess she just killed.
Well, because she went down and killed everyone at the camp.
Oh, so she's I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
She was gone for like 5 minutes.
She must
minutes.
Have had the bodies yeah. outside. I don't know.
Yeah, because yeah, she's dragging some other camper up there.
So, but Molly like clocks her pretty good. Hits this her is going to come back. Basically, knocks her out with a huge branch. So Molly takes off running, and even though Molly knocked her out, somehow Angela moments later is ahead of her. Molly takes
yeah.
So
she started
Angela
running after
gets
her.
Conscious and not only overtakes Molly, but is actually waiting for Molly like in
tree,
an ambush.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how. Then Molly manages to
stab her in the leg.
In the leg. In yep. like so Angela's like limping like crazy, but still also manages keeping to catch up to her again.
She's like ahead of her every turn.
So, yeah. With so some Molly, ADR lines in there because they realized their chase scene was pretty damn boring.
Oh yeah. And
so they put some ADR lines in there.
That's filled with there's all kinds of filler in there.
Yeah, because like, you're like, wow, this is boring, guys. It's just
Well, you can tell at that point they're padding the runtime. They're just trying to be like, okay, we got to.
Because it wasn't building tension. You weren't like, oh my God, get away. You're like, whatever, just.
Yeah, it's just them going through the woods.
Yeah.
So Molly gets back to the camp and realizes everyone's been killed.
Yeah.
She falls off the cliff there. Gets knocked out until nighttime.
No. That happens next, I think, doesn't it? Because she gets to the camp, finds everyone dead, and then she goes running back away and then falls off. Because that's the very end.
Molly never found everybody dead, did she?
I don't know.
Someone did, because there's all the
other,
shots
the other
of...
Counts,
oh, that's like, right. That's what she... Yeah,
yeah Molly falls off the little cliff there, and Angela's like, oh, you almost made it. And
she doesn't bother to check if she's actually dead.
So right. then Diane, then goes and kills the other
and Diane also walks in
like, never been in this movie.
She's
in
the
fact,
true unsung hero of this film.
Yeah, she comes into... She basically just like walks into the office and is like, whoa, everyone's dead.
Uncle John's dead, his hands are cut off, and somebody's hanging from the ceiling with something hanging on their mouth. I don't know if that was...
There's someone else in there. Yeah.
Someone else looked like TC with a mullet.
Someone else is dead in there. She's probably like, I really should be paying closer attention to what's going on at this camp that only has 40 kids. And then she gets killed.
She finds Charlie and Emilio, the two kids, dead.
Yes.
I wonder, did she kill like all the kids?
I guess Mustard, right? Killed everybody.
And then kills Dan. Yeah, then so she goes.
And she says, Nighty Night Campers or something like that.
Yeah.
Which they then reused that exact same line right after the credits.
She hitches a ride with some woman who
has got like, another great scene.
This was
cowboy
so great. This was nutty. You knew that they had to like push this running time. I feel like they were just like on the set saying to these two like talk about smoking or something and just give us some dialogue. Like give us 3 minutes of dialogue.
Yeah. It was great though, because almost like you watched it and you felt like Angela's kind of like. Here we go again. And I just jumped her and fucking stabbed her.
Yeah, and even the woman is like, I'm not sure where this scene is going. I would bet all the money in my wallet right now that was an improv scene and that the woman was not like really that happy with how the improv was going.
So, of course, then Molly comes to and she goes running to the road and stops a car. And, of course, it's the car with... Angela driving with the cowboy hat.
With the cowboy hat and what she said, whatever she said.
She just says, hey, how's it going? Or something. Or,
howdy ho, or something like that. She said something like that. Yeah.
Then it cuts to black.
And I was like, thank God the movie is over. I hated this. I was bored.
Yes.
I was very bored. This is not so bad it's good for me. I was hoping this was going to be like 80s horror movie fun.
This is so bad it's good.
I will probably buy this movie. Since I was, 12, a fan of slasher movies, so this is kind of a fun send-up. How I see it, as just a fun send-up of...
Yeah, and just sitting here talking about it, I'm recalling all these funny moments I found extremely funny.
I agree with Alex. I was bored. I guess I was never really a summer camp kid, and I guess it's kind of like, oh, it's just, dumb summer camp cliches and random kills, and it was just kind of...
Yeah, I give you the kills.
Some scenes I liked. Some scenes I liked, I'm not going to lie. There was some of the stuff the bad guy was doing was funny, but I just wasn't laughing my ass off. It was just kind of a...
The thing it lacked for me was it did lack the tension or the build-up.
Yeah, there was some tension
to it. It was all this quick kill stuff. Yeah, so it did lack that for me.
But just I didn't to have see it as a horror movie, though.
But just to have a good time with something and laugh at...
Yeah.
What Angela was doing, a couple of her.
I suppose if I watched it with somebody, I probably would have enjoyed it more.
I think for me, part of the problem is I'm a big fan of Friday, as everyone here knows, a big fan of Friday the 13th Part 6, right. Which I feel Friday the 13th Part 6 did what this movie was trying to do, which had a little humor, had some summer camp jokes, had some like kind of self-aware moments, while also at the same time being like an 80, like a horror movie.
Legit horror movie.
And I thought that this was like that this movie was trying to do something like that and failing so badly, whereas like Friday the 13th Part 6 is
The budget on this one? I mean,
it's not that low. I mean, this was at least $500,000.
They shot this movie and the third one back to back, like together, the same time, the same sets. Yeah,
a Fangoria,
so they obviously had money to do two movies.
They did two. A Fangoria article I read implied that it was $500,000 each, which in the mid 80s, $500,000, I mean, was not terrible. Yeah, I mean, you had Friday the 13th movies being made for $1 million.
Right.
You know, this was $500,000, so you're not that far off.
Okay, yeah.
And that guy, Uncle John, he's that dude from those James Bond movies. Right. You know, I mean, like, they had some clearly, like, money in this. Although, I think they had Uncle John probably for, like, 2 days.
Yeah, he wasn't.
And they got an Estevez, so obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, well, split vote. Two who say it is so bad it's good, two who say it's not.
I'm saying no.
Good luck to anyone who wants to watch this on their own. This week's So Wrong, It's Right.
What about
question.
Sleepaway Camp, though? I'm sorry.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah, what'd you think about that?
I am not a fan, but I understand why there are fans. Does that make sense?
You don't
sense?
Think that's, you think that's so bad it's good?
It isn't for me, but no. I get the appeal, but it's not
what about
for me.
You?
I own it, and I've only seen it once, so I guess. I mean, I liked it, I guess, kind of.
You
as just a generic...
You? I did. It was more enjoyable than the second one.
You think so?
But I was like, I don't know. I'm not really feeling this. But it was more. It was more enjoyable than the second one.
The kids do look like kids.
Yeah, at least
it's
really
so
kids.
Confusing.
The kids actually look like kids in the first one.
When the twist is revealed in the first one, it's
so great.
It opens up so many other questions. Where you're like, wait, like there are like 20 other things that now don't.
I must say I didn't see it coming.
Understand? Yeah, you. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
So I'll give it that. It was a better movie. By leaps and bounds.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to line
like,
up.
Well, the first one, too, was like true low budget horror,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was.
You know,
right.
So, I mean, that's again, like, I don't want to make fun of the first one because it was true low budget horror. And, you know, just the fact that they got a moving image on the screen is, you know, pretty impressive. Let's do this week's So Wrong, It's Right question. This is a little bit of a tweak. One of the cast members from Sleepaway Camp 2, Angela came back for Sleepaway Camp 3. One of the other cast members came back for Sleepaway Camp 3 in a behind-the-scenes role. So I'm going to have people just take a guess as to what actor they think that might have been. They came back in a behind-the-scenes support role.
I want to say it's the mullet man, Mr. TC, whatever the actor's name is.
Okay.
Just because I would like it to be.
Okay.
Jack took TC, so who else is there? I'm going to say the girl who played... Allie, or whoever the blonde girl was.
Okay. We turn now to
one.
I'm
gonna say Uncle John.
Okay.
Popped in my head for some reason. I don't know why.
You know what? I'm gonna say first of all, you are not right, but I like your way of thinking because he's probably the most respectable talent in this thing.
Yeah,
he's
I thought
like,
maybe
he'd had like a 50-year show business career.
Maybe
at that
be
point.
A producer or
he
something.
He probably
or...
could have been the most helpful. To
right.
Them. Cody was right. It's that girl Allie.
Okay.
The slutty girl who is listed in the third one as the assistant to the director / raccoon handler. So you guys, if you're
moved up since the second one.
So basically, she was sleeping with the director.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do the math at home. The girl who's basically topless for the whole movie was on the set as the third one as assistant to the director. Yeah, I'm sure Angela would have a lot of issues with that.
I'm sure she assisted him well, too.
Well, we'll see when they make Sleepaway Camp 4.
Do you want to try that again? Do you want to take two on that? Because that didn't. Okay. That was, it sort of came out of the gate weird. This is the kickoff of our horrible horror month for October. We will have some other fantastically horrible horror movies coming
not
up.
Not horrible. They're not all horrible, the list.
Just Halloween 3.
That's
just,
not horrible.
Just Halloween 3. The next two we're going to have coming up, I believe, are going to be Halloween 3 Season
which
of
is
the
not
Witch.
Horrible.
Or we're going to call that episode The Trial of Andy Wolf, because we're all he's going to sit there defending the film, or are going to be berating
that'll
him
be our
it.
Second movie called Season of the Witch, too.
That's right.
It will
that's
be.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which I remember when we did Season of the Witch, we had to explain that we were not doing Halloween 3 Season of
now
the Witch.
Now we are.
And I believe we're going to be doing Spookies, the
low-budget,
terrible, terrible movie that I watched some clips horrible. From on YouTube that made...
It's so fun, though.
I
can't believe I gotta watch it again.
I
watched it the first time and I like, oh my, I'll never watch it again. And you bought it.
Yeah, because it was freaking amazing.
And I'm like, okay, I'll watch it again. I was like, oh my god, I'm never watching this again. Now I gotta do it a third time.
I watched some of it on YouTube. I think the tape from The Ring makes more sense than the, like what I was seeing.
It's going to be so fun to talk about though.
Yeah, so that's gonna be coming up. We have lots more fun ahead.
Can we do Monster Dog again?
No, I would love to do Monster Dog again.
Another good movie.
That's an amazing movie. I think it should be shared with the world.
It should be. I wish people would jump
on
board with Monster Dog.
I legitimately love that
movie. Watch Monster Dog.
Monster Dog.
Well, watch Monster Dog.
He said it.
Watch Monster Dog.
We're going to watch our upcoming movie, Monster Blog. Monster Blog is about a blog that grows and gets out of control and starts taking over lives.
Wow, okay.
As always, please give us a like on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out is on Facebook. You'll be hopefully able to see a picture of TC smelling his own armpit around the time you can listen to this.
What else could there be for this?
Where else can you go? And if you can leave us a review on iTunes, we lost all of our reviews in the great website Meltdown of last year. We were always looking for nice reviews on iTunes.
Or did we delete them all?
They were good, so I'll be deleting
them. Okay, good.
You know what? Go back to Monster Blog, okay? And you can follow us. Actually, you can follow all of us on Twitter. You've got
at Jag Astabrook, yep.
At Cody A. Wolf.
Randy.
Randy Like the Wolf.
That's what it is.
Randy at Randy Like the Wolf. And you can follow the show at Wind Up Films for all the updates you need. I think that brings this spectacular episode to a close. We will be back with more next week. All right, enjoy.